transportation budget division will, this is a transportation budget division will come to order. We've got a long list of bills on the agenda today, so we're going to ask people to be as concise as possible. And with that, we've got Senator Scheid and Senator Limmer with a little project called Highway 610.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was going to offer, I haven't looked at this bill for a while. I've only been concerned about the subject for 40-some years. But
yeah, the bill is over $100 million.
Yeah, and well, this one says $5 million, and I thought we could add a couple zeros. And you know, it must have just been a typo. You know, we are hoping that we'll end up with some of the recovery, the federal stimulus package money. Mm-hmm. And but let me just tell you,
just a second, Senator Scheid. Thank you, Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, when I first moved to Brooklyn Park in 1967, I think it was shortly thereafter that I first heard about Highway 610 and a North Crosstown. And cities have been planning and working to get this road started, begun, and now we're here to try to finish the work. But an awful lot of good planning and sound work went into getting to where we are. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you were out on the bridge with us that morning a couple of years ago with the governor.
Not on 610.
I think it was a very snowy day. And we, let me tell you, the bridge goes from Highway 10 on the east side of the Mississippi. I think it's east, the other side of the Mississippi, and comes across the river, the Highway 610 bridge, the Richard A. Braun bridge, that took a long time coming to because originally there had been only a crossing in Brooklyn Center and a crossing in Anoka, and that was an incredible inconvenience to people. And then it is complete across the northern half, if you will, of Brooklyn Park. Well, it's complete across all of Brooklyn Park from east to west. And it stops at Highway 169, which is the boundary of Brooklyn Park and Maple Grove. Now, we are concerned now about finishing this roadway to go from that continue on then from 169 and get it over to Highway 94. That remaining piece is actually, I think, divided into two pieces. One is certainly shovel-ready. The other needs a little more work. We're hopeful that there may even be enough money available if indeed we're able to get money from the federal package, then that there might be enough money to continue on and actually finish this thing out all the way to 94. But I'm going to have, I want to say one other thing about the planning for this road. So often when you talk about a major freeway in the metropolitan area, you're talking about taking out homes, taking out other kinds of infrastructure, just moving a whole lot of people and things around. This roadway has been so well planned, and it really didn't take out a lot of mm-hmm. of anything. The cities worked on getting right-of-way money, and we've done that. I remember doing some of that in the 80s, getting them an ability to have more right-of-way acquisition. It's to the point that it probably is one of the best planned roadways because we don't have displacement of people. If you were to go out there today and go with me every Saturday out to the Super Target in Maple Grove, you would drive kind of right alongside of and above the roadbed that I think has been, I mean, I think that that's like ready and they filled it in with some dirt, but you can see right where this highway is going to be. And that would be finishing that first segment, as I'm speaking of. There are going to be two segments between 169 and 94, and you can get almost to Target, just to Fernbrook, Maple Grove High School Road. So I'm going to let Warren say something. There's so much we could say about it, but I think I just wanted you to know how much has gone in, how much planning and preparation has been done for this road.
Yeah, Senator Scheid, the local jurisdictions have done a good job of securing the property there. So, and I've heard from Senator Limmer, I don't know how many times. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and they have worked together so well with this. And the mayor of Brooklyn Park is here, the mayor of Champlin, and Maple.
Representatives from Maple Grove.
And representatives are here from Maple Grove, and I think the mayor is en route. So,
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair and committee, thank you. You know, over the years, the one common thing that's kind of united Senator Scheid and I together on public policy is Highway 610. And knowing that it probably isn't going to be absolutely finished for quite some time, we can look forward to working together on this for a few more years. But you know and I know that this has been a long-awaited history on Highway 610. The government has owned most of the land for over 40 years now. And over that time, the development, the residential development, has far outpaced where the road is. It continues to go far beyond. Almost all of the northern part of Hennepin County has been filled in with development, and yet we have a road that stops in the middle of a east-to-west path going across the northern half of Hennepin County, where nearly 16% of the state's population lives within a five-mile radius of this road, and this road is not done. It's been somewhat of a bane of existence for the communities and for the planners in trying to determine how they plan their cities, how they plan their development, where their road and infrastructure goes. And they've done a very good job in getting around this road and developing the infrastructure plan that's necessary for that many people. Yet the road is unfinished. It stops, as many of you know, it stops in the middle of a potato field in Brooklyn Park shortly before it would continue on its western path to Highway 94 across the northern edge of Maple Grove. Because of the road not being finished, the network of transportation systems become overburdened in that entire region. I'm sure you're aware of the accident levels on Highway 94 as it goes through Maple Grove and up to Rogers. I believe over the last 10 to 11 years, I think we've had close to 2,200 to 2,300 accidents with 29 deaths on that road alone in an 11-mile stretch of road. In that period, or in that length of road, I think there's 8 miles where there's no exit off of Highway 94 at all. This would be a major opportunity to put, if it went to the farthest edge of Highway 610, it would give a much-needed exit and entrance ramp at the same time as finishing off the east and west route. And, of course, we can't talk about this road and the failure to build this road without looking on the economic development that's being held up by the construction of this road. As you may remember, the headquarters of Target is in Brooklyn Park. It's right on the north side of Highway 610, the finished freeway. They're anxious. They have development plans for a radius of property around their headquarters to further develop. There's other businesses that have bought land in anticipation of Highway 610 to be finished soon. We believe and we've counted that there's close to 50,000 jobs, good-paying, more than livable wage-rated jobs that can go along that corridor. But because we don't have a road, the desire to go into full development is kind of been arrested at this point. So we have tremendous opportunity. Not only the road gets done, but we put people back to work at the same time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, on MnDOT's own list, the candidate projects for the economic recovery funding. This comes in at $86 million with over 2,200 jobs immediately for the construction of the road. So that's important. But the economic development piece that Senator Limmer is talking about, the future economic development along this highway will be really valuable to that whole end of town, to that whole north side. So I think we have a couple of people that might want to say something.
Sure, I think that there's
come over to this. And Mr. Chairman, I am chairing a committee.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here, Senator Scheid, is you know, this is a trunk highway bond. So what we're going to do is we're going to send this bill to finance. And then in the meantime, we're going to talk with Senator Langseth about what we're going to do with the trunk highway portion of our bonding bill. You know, if we're going to carry that on the in the transportation bill, then we'll just move it back to this committee and it'll compete against the other projects. If it goes to, you know, if the trunk highway bonds are all going to be carried in Senator Langseth's bill, as we've done, I don't know, in the past, couple times.
Mr. Chair, we've done it both ways.
Yeah.
They can't be general obligation bonds, as you probably know. And so sometimes we'll put them in my bill, and sometimes it carry a separate bill. But we can determine that later.
We'll find a place for it, though.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we are going to be able to use federal stimulus money for this project, is there any need then to have additional state funding? What's your understanding of that?
Senator Bonoff, I don't think that $86 million is going to finish the job.
Thank you.
We could probably get somebody here from MnDOT that could speak better on that, but I think that I think the money's always in question.
Mr. Chairman, sitting to my left is Mayor Steve Lampe of my community of Brooklyn Park, and then Mayor of Champlin, Mayor Uglum, is on this end. Maybe Steve.
Sure.
Sorry. And I have something. It's a handout that
okay.
City brought.
Okay. We'll get that.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
First of all, thank you very much for having us here today. As the two senators have said, this is a very important project to our communities and in reality to the whole region. And I think the biggest single piece that I'd like to emphasize is the economic development impact. Senator Limmer alluded to the Target complex. Target has told us in Brooklyn Park that having 610 completed is a major stumbling block to their complete development in our city. And they're talking about new jobs in our region of about 30,000 new jobs. In addition to the fact that we anticipate in Brooklyn Park additional development of about $2.2 billion. Mayor Uglum told me this morning that he was anticipating another $1 billion in Champlin, a new development, and Maple Grove has another $4.4 billion in investment. All those dollars bringing new jobs and new economic vitality to our area of the state. So it is a very key project. It does end in the middle of a potato field in our fine city, and it's very important for us to see the long-term development in our community having that road completed. Mayor Uglum, maybe you?
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Steve. Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of the committee, my name is Mark Uglum. I'm the mayor of the city of Champlin. Very happy to be here today. The 610 completion is very, very important to our city. This project has been on the drawing boards since 1969, I'm told. That's a long, long time. I was in high school in 1969, and that was a long time ago. But we desperately need this missing link in the northern suburbs. The Northtown Crosstown, as it was called many years ago. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that by completing this project all the way over to 94, the economic impact will be positively huge. If you've traveled that road, you notice that there's all kinds of vacant land there. And as far as Champlin's concerned, those types of jobs are going to translate into housing and economic impact for our city. Just the fact that Target's up there now, their corporate headquarters, is going to be very huge for Brooklyn Park, and we're just going to be happy to take the spillover because it's going to be huge there too. The regional impact for all the cities in the northern metro, whether it be all the way up to Anoka, Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, Maple Grove, even our friends up in Ramsey, it's a major bottleneck. The completion to the east that was done a number of years ago, a tremendous help for us, a tremendous help. But with a new hospital up there and the problems that we have with the transportation and the growth that we've had in the area, Champlin's a city of 25,000 now. When I moved up there, it was half the size. So the growth that we've had and the economic impact that this project will bring, plus the fact that if you wanted to, you could probably start tomorrow. The eastern portion is shovel-ready, and we all know what the stimulus package is looking for immediate jobs, and God knows we need them. We need to put anybody we can to work right now. That eastern portion, if you drive up there where 169, where you come to the dead end, if you will, you can look straight for miles and see the right-of-way. So it's ready to go. And then to complete it would be the prudent thing to do over to 94. We just don't want to build a road and have another dead end like we have now and run it over to 94. So we respectfully ask that everybody on the committee will do the best job they possibly can to further this project. It's a good project. And up in the North Country, on the north end of town here, we really desperately need it. So stand ready for any questions, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Chairman, we also have a representative from Maple Grove, Jerry Butcher. And I don't believe the mayor from Maple Grove is here yet, so we'll hear from Jerry Butcher. I know that he's very well informed, more than well informed on this. You know, I was thinking after I heard the comments of Mayor Uglum, if in 1969 the road corridor was approved somewhere in the federal government, that means that chances are this roadway was talked about during LBJ's administration. And we'd like to get it done in our administration. Jerry?
Mr. Chair and Senators, Jerry Butcher, Director of Public Works, City of Maple Grove. And yes, Maple Grove is very excited about this roadway. We've been looking forward to the completion of it for a long time. I was only 29 years old when I went to Maple Grove back in 74. And we start setting aside right-of-way. Today we have 30 acres of right-of-way that the city owns with its own money and about another 30-some acres that was purchased with raw funds thanks to the Senate and the legislature for providing that raw funding. Prior to that time, in the early 70s, we didn't have that opportunity, and so we had to use our own money. So we have about 60 acres of land already set aside. The right-of-way is pretty well cleared, shovel-ready, ready for a project. We're extremely excited about the stimulus bill, but that doesn't complete 610. We do have the western end. The new hospital is scheduled to open in December of this year. We would hope that some of the people in Brooklyn Park would have the opportunity of making it all the way over to Maple Grove Parkway, using Nick's new 610 to that hospital. There are some interim roads that are going in, and that's helpful. But right now, we're not driving on anything. As I was coming over to the Capitol today, I thought, you know, no matter how congested the roads are, I'm at least driving on a road. In that part, we don't really have anything to drive on. And so Senators Limmer and Scheid have pretty well described the project. Our mayors have identified the aspects for Brooklyn Park and Champlin, and likewise in Maple Grove, where road is long overdue. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, did you have something to say about, does the department have anything to say about the 610 project, or other than it's on the list for federal money? So that's a little more complicated process, and you all know what that entails, but you know, the Metropolitan Council will kick out a list of projects, and I'm pretty sure that 610 is going to be on it. So, you know, hopefully you'll get a, you know, your spiff of money and get that project kicked off, and, you know, we can follow up and then,
Mr. Chairman,
do a little follow-up. Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, and if there's a way for us to get some more to continue the work for that second half, that mm-hmm. piece that would take it all the way to 94,
right.
that would be wonderful. I told the Twin West Chamber of Commerce this one is beyond shovel-ready. I've been out there digging.
All right. Well, then, Senator Sieben would move that Senate File 54 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
With that, we'll take Senator Folby, Senate File 873.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langseth.
Well, Mr. Chair, bridge bonding is not new to this committee, particularly local bridge bonding, but last year we came up with, I think it was 50 or 52 million, which we thought was a sizable amount, but 25 million went to one bridge, a very needed bridge, Lowry Avenue Bridge, which is about a $100 million bridge, but some of the townships and counties really got cut short. So when Senator Folby came to me with a request for this bill, I said we certainly would try to oblige and come up with as much money as we could, because we did really end up getting shortchanged, even though we did have quite a large amount.
Right. Senator Folby, Senate File 873, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, and thanks, Senator Langseth. You took my introduction, so now I'm done.
No,
I'm just joking. As many of you know, I haven't done this a lot before, so I really want to thank you for hearing this bill today. As you know, bridge bonding bill, traditionally this has been included in the capital bonding bill, and I'm here today to ask that you consider supporting this again this session. This bill affects all of us. It affects each of us in our districts. It's a statewide investment, and it's an important ongoing investment that allows the state to leverage local dollars and federal dollars that combine to fund a bridge replacement or repair. All projects are made up of multiple revenue sources, as you know. All projects put people to work. They create jobs, which is really important, as we all know, and all projects affect the safety of our citizens each and every day. Last session, as Senator Langseth said, we provided $50 million in bond proceeds. All of those funds have been used or allocated at this point. Today, MnDOT has a really long list of projects that have not been completed from the 07-08, and in addition, local governments have committed to their share of funding for another 848 bridges that are ready to go for 09. It's crucial that we continue this ongoing investment in our communities. The continuity is important. The jobs are important. The safety is important in maintaining an adequate transportation system. Again, I thank you for hearing this today, and I do have some people here to provide testimony if we have time.
All right. Well, thank you. Any questions for Senator Folby? Senator Salzman.
Here. And on this point, Mr. Chair, I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward, because on August 2007, we all became much more aware of the ratings of our bridges, and having two bridges in my district that were extremely deficient, I really appreciate the fact that we were able to fund those as the worst of the worst bridges. But it's important that we look across the state. So I want to thank you, Senator Fobey, for bringing this bill forward so that we can make sure there is equity across the state in making sure that people are safe on all the bridges in Minnesota.
Thank you.
All right. With that, let's start off with Mr. Cochran and Mr. Vanosik. And I would ask that the testifiers keep it short because we have 12 other bills to be heard. Mr. Cochran.
I'm Bruce Cochran. I'm the Lacs County Highway Engineer. And this bill affects me like it affects everybody else in this room. Senator Fobey alluded to a number of bridges that were not, that are lacking funding. I have a list here of about 115 or 116 bridges in 2007 and 2008 that still need funding.
Right. Before we passed last year's funding bill, there was roughly about $900 million worth of local bridges that needed to be replaced, repaired, replaced.
One of the points I want to make is more of a local issue, and I believe that all the counties in the state have got similar issues. I have a project where the state is going to open bids 12 months from now. I have an adjoining bridge that's tied to it with an intersection, literally a stone's throw away, and I kid you not. And I'm trying to coordinate my bridge replacement with a state bridge replacement for a number of reasons. One of the big reasons is to minimize the impact on the local community, take advantage of mobilizations and cost savings and increased quantities for contractors, help drive the cost down, and to reduce the inconvenience. And without a bridge bonding bill, it's incredibly difficult for local agencies to plan and to prepare, take advantage of these opportunities of coordination and economization. And without this, it's very, very difficult for us to plan. It's very, very difficult for us to make good, prudent decisions with our money.
Mr. Cochran, if you don't mind me asking, you were talking about those two bridges. What's the price tag on the bridge that you're the authority on?
At this point, I'm looking around $2 million. And obviously, we don't have that in local funds to front that. We can't afford to go out and prepare and go through all the environmental issues, hoping that a stimulus-type package money would come along. We can't afford that luxury.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There's not that many of them.
He brought a diagram, too, of that, and if that would be helpful for the committee, Mr. Chairperson.
I don't have enough for everybody, but just as a demonstration.
We can pass it around. We'll have it passed around.
I can just show you that this be the state bridge. This is the bridge I want to replace. The intent is to take out a signalized intersection and install a roundabout. As you can see with the proximity of these, that the intersection is going to drive my bridge design, and I really can't do one without doing all three. Just as an example of one local issue that I'm sure has multiplied 86 other times throughout the state.
Now that's that's true. Mr. Vanosik.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Rob Vanosik here on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Townships. Today, we strongly support Senate File 873, as Senator Langseth mentioned. Last year, we were shorted a little bit. Historically, there's been about $10 million in bridge bonding a year, and townships receive about $3 to $4 million annually. But last year's priority went to fracture critical bridges, which one bridge took up half of that, $50 million, and then the township. There were only 5-6 bridges on the township system that met those fracture critical criteria. So the unmet needs, we kind of had a little bit of a lapse last year. We've got about 760 some bridges on the state deficiency list. 423 of those are on the state's priority waiting list. That at an average cost of $150,000, that those unmet needs on the township system alone total over $76 million. And so that would get us current or caught up. There's about over $54 million in just township bridges alone that have been sitting on the waiting list for a few years now. And just in January, another $21 million were added. So just to get us caught up would be about $76 million, and then we'd be going forward with bridges after that. And this was handed out, kind of depicts that. Mr. Chair, members, we've got over 6,000 bridges on the township system statewide, and you know, with that, I'll leave it to the committee for questions and conclude.
Seeing none, we'll move to the next testifiers, Mr. Sheehan and Ms. Donahoe.
And I believe, Mr. Chairperson, Mr. Sheehan is not here today, but Ms. Donahue will be here.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Margaret Donahoe with the Minnesota Transportation Alliance. And yes, our president, Mike Sheehan, who is the Olmsted County engineer, wanted to be here today in support of this legislation, but he had a conflict. So I will keep it very brief, but the Alliance, of course, represents a number of different organizations, including local government organizations like the Association of Minnesota Counties, the Minnesota Inter-County Association, the League of Minnesota Cities, Metro Cities, along with the transportation industry, labor, businesses, and pretty much all the multimodal groups in Minnesota. So we're here today to thank you for hearing this bill. We hope that this request for bridge bonding will be included in a capital bonding bill this year. Just a couple points to add to what you've already heard. One of the issues that we find increasingly is that groups are looking for heavier loads to haul on our local roads and bridges. And local bridges in particular simply cannot handle heavier and heavier weights that are being requested of them every year. So we need to make sure that our bridges are being replaced on a timely basis so that they can handle those heavier weights that our farmers and other groups are asking for. The second point is that while the federal stimulus funds will help with some of the bridge needs in our state, it really won't make much of a dent on that waiting list that you have of bridges that have been ready to go for a while. And so the needs are still very significant out there, and there are lots and lots of people, professionals in transportation, who are waiting to get back to work. So any amount of funding that can be provided helps get people back to work. And when the job is done, the state will have a better and safer transportation asset that will help our businesses for many years to come. So thank you.
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Mr. Cochran. Is MnDOT proposing a roundabout on 95?
That is correct.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what to say beyond that, because I'm very supportive of the money for the local, you know, but I'm thinking of, you know, if I've got a 53-foot trailer coming around there, you know, it's just, to me, those are just a nightmare on that kind of traffic road. So, but I guess that's my comment.
Mr. Cochran, did you want to respond? Or
I can respond to that. I don't know if I'm going to change anybody's opinion on roundabouts.
Probably not.
One thing that is recognized is that education in a roundabout is a very key ingredient to navigating a roundabout. Most people, when they see a road, it's to their left, they're going to turn left, and they're going to go that direction. And learning on Washington County's whole roundabout program. They've come up with a great education tool that they have on their website, and it's been well received once people understand them. And the design criteria of roundabouts is being tweaked and adjusted every day to make them fit better to what our current traffic is and the users. Quite honestly, I'm sold on roundabouts just based on the entry speed, the fact that everybody's going the same direction, the statistics on reducing fatal and incapacitating crashes. I think they're a real good idea. And it's kind of nice to be, in my opinion, the first one in our MnDOT district to be proposing one. Mm-hmm. The one last point I like to make, and I don't want to belabor this anymore, I've got my 2003 to 2007 five-year bridge replacement plan for Mille Lacs County, and I also have my 2009 to 13. And of these, I've got five bridges that were on my 2003 to 7 list that are yet to be built because we're waiting for funding.
Well, that's pretty indicative. Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, I would move the bill.
Senator Langseth moves Senate File 873 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Further questions for Senator Folby or any of the testifiers? Senator Carlson.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I guess I need to be sure that I add my agreement with Senator Olsen on roundabouts. I am also in favor of roundabouts, but not the way we're building them here. Oftentimes it's referred to as an education problem, and that's partly true, but also we're putting them onto roads that where they really shouldn't be. I've driven about 10,000 miles in Europe, and you don't find them on high-speed roads. I mean, you know, certainly you wouldn't find them on an autobahn, but also in any high-speed roads, you don't find them. And the problem that we're doing here is we're trying to save land, and we're not using the same standards that we've used on interchanges, where an off-ramp or any kind of ramp is designed to take at practically the highway speed. So there is a concern I have that I agree with Senator Olsen that we need to be very cautious about where we're putting these, and the notion of saving lives is a good one, but you can close the road and save lives also. So use caution on putting these roundabouts on some of these highways.
Mr. Chair,
just a side note, Senator Carlson, Mr. Chair.
Senator Folby.
Senator Olsen, I lived on the East Coast for some time with many roundabouts. So, yes, high-speed roads, I wouldn't ever put them on a high-speed road. But roundabout also is MnDOT's proposal, and so we're not here really to say much more about roundabouts today. So thanks for your comments.
Same here. We have a motion. On the motion, Senator Salzman?
I will pass.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to mention, too, that the price of steel now is not much over half of what it was a year ago. So hopefully we'll get a lot more for our dollar than we would have a while back.
Maybe we'll get two bridges instead of half a bridge?
That's something like that.
Okay. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Senate File 23 is a proposal with regard to the Bottineau Corridor Transitway, and you're receiving a handout bringing you up to date on that project as it is now. Just a little bit of history in it. We have been looking at Bottineau Boulevard in Hennepin County for some time as a way of benefiting transit-oriented development and transit-dependent constituents. And it had previously been identified, as you can tell from the handout, as a high-priority transit investment for the region. And historically, that has also been the case, although we've been very cautious in terms of the development. from, it was pursued as a BRT, bus rapid transit corridor, from 2001 to 2007 with a $20 million in state bonding that was authorized for the corridor that was not eventually spent when it was determined that BRT, as it was suggested at that time, was not going to meet the needs of the corridor. last year, the Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority funded on its own the alternative analysis and had identified a what was the most appropriate alternative, ruling out, in particular, commuter rail and looking at LRT. The attributes of that are that it does provide a link to any number of other transit initiatives that are going on in terms and meeting downtown Minneapolis, catching up with the Hiawatha line, the North Shore commuter rail, the Central Corridor LRT, the Southwest Corridor, which is currently in the environmental study, based on LRT as the preferred role there, and also looking at the restructuring of the bus routes in our area that included the goal of providing efficient adaptation for future development. We did have state funding last year of $500,000, but it was vetoed by the governor in the bonding bill. We're back with that same request for this year. In terms of the schedule for this project, we anticipate that the alternative analysis study will be completed by the middle of 2009, and we will be requesting federal funding in the 2009 Transportation Reauthorization Bill. You can see the in the map that is provided, it's not color-coded, but the Botno Boulevard runs really very much through my district. I have all of New Hope, all of Crystal, and all of Robbinsdale, and it extends, this project extends through Brooklyn Park and out to Maple Grove, which would involve Senator Scheid and Senator Lemmer's district. With me today is Mr. Brent Rusco. Commissioner Opat was planning to be here, but since his regrets, he was not able to attend. We just found that out within the last hour. So we apologize for that. But Mr. Rusco would like to spend just a couple minutes bringing you even more up to date on this project.
Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Can you state your name for the
record? Sure. My name is Brent Rusco. I'm with Hennepin County, and I'm the study manager for the current alternatives analysis study for the Botno Corridor. I'm just going to echo some of the comments Senator Rest made in terms of potential for this corridor. As she said, this has been this corridor has been studied for a long time, going back to the 1980s. This corridor was considered as a strong candidate for LRT implementation. And if we fast forward to the Metropolitan Council's current transit master study, it's one of two corridors with the potential for LRT implementation, the other one being the Southwest Corridor. Also, the Botno Partnership has been strongly advocating and aligning resources in the corridor for both land use and transportation projects in the corridor, and is a strong advocate for this study. If I could talk just a little bit about some of the corridor attributes that are really show the potential for transitway development in this corridor. We've got a strong concentration of transit-dependent population along the corridor, and certainly we've got redevelopment opportunities in both North Minneapolis and the inner ring suburbs. And then just briefly going out to the suburbs of Maple Grove and Brooklyn Park, strong growing activity centers in these communities, including the Target Northern Campus, North Hennepin Community College, Hennepin Technical College, and certainly downtown Maple Grove. And then, as the Senator mentioned, it's got the potential for a strong connection within
to the transitway system at the new Target Field, connections to North Star Commuter Rail, Hiawatha LRT, the future Central Corridor LRT, and a potential future Southwest LRT line. Just to end with, we'd like to just state that Hennepin County is eagerly seeking partners for a project here. A transitway investment in this corridor would be eligible for 30% County's Transitways Improvement Board funding. Senator Rest mentioned the federal appropriation of $3 million. And to end, that Hennepin County has contributed $1 million for this current alternatives analysis study, which we plan to complete by this summer of 2009. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Roscoe. Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, you might have said this. I couldn't hear all of your testimony, but how much money have we already spent on studying this corridor? And it's been going back a couple decades now. I mean, hasn't this already been looked at for light rail and the like?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, from 2001 to 2007, we were looking at this corridor primarily for bus rapid transit, and the $20 million was not spent.
Okay.
Further questions for Senator Rest? Senator Rest would move that Senate File 523 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. Further discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest and Mr. Roscoe. Senator Gerlach, Senate File 835. Mr. Crum, Commissioner, thanks for coming up today. We've got some handouts that need to be passed out. Mm-hmm. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senate File 835 before you right now will provide the next installment of state bonding for the... Here, there. Thank you. Next installment of state bonding for the Cedar Avenue Bus Rapid Transit Line in Dakota County. It's funding bills for at least about the last 6 or 8 years, both in the Senate here and in the House previous to that. This line will begin operation in late 2009 with shoulder-running express buses from 180th Street all the way down in Lakeville with a stop in Apple Valley at the transit station there and continue to the Mall of America. There's going to be, right out of the gates here, are the plans for the fall of 06 here to have at least 6 buses running north in the morning and 6 returning in the afternoon. When the transit station is completed at Cedar Grove in Eagan in late 2009 or early 2010, there will be express buses running from there to the Mall of America. It's expected that MVTA, or the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority, will begin running buses with stops at all 3 stations, ending at the Mall of America sometime in 2010. Both the Apple Valley and the Cedar Grove transit stations were paid for with the UPA funding, federal funding, state bonding, and local Dakota County money. This bonding money will pay for additional property acquisition and roadway improvements to accommodate the shoulder-running buses. Today, for more detail and to answer your questions and to provide some testimony, I have with me our Dakota County Commissioner Nancy Schuweiler and also our Dakota County Transit Manager Dan Crome, and they can give you some more detailed description of the project.
Commissioner. Mr. Chair and members, I'm Nancy Schuweiler. I'm a Dakota County Commissioner and the lead Commissioner for Legislative Affairs. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners requests the amount of $12 million in state bonding to continue Phase 1 implementation of the Cedar Avenue Corridor Transitway. These funds are required for shoulder improvements for bus use on Cassad 23 in Apple Valley and Lakeville. For full system development, preliminary engineering, design, construction, and other costs are expected to reach $167 million. Phase 1 of the project will require $76.4 million. To date, over $63.5 million has been secured from federal, state, regional, and local sources, including $19 million in state bonding. Cedar Avenue BRT is a Dakota County lifeline. Cedar Avenue serves as a main connection between Dakota County, downtown Minneapolis, downtown St. Paul, and other destinations. It is one of the most traveled roads in Dakota County, with more than 100,000 vehicles traveling around the corridor every day. It is a lifeline to school, recreational, business, and residential needs for the residents and communities of Dakota County. Cedar Avenue BRT will keep people moving. Bus rapid transit development along Cedar Avenue will have the effect of adding two additional lanes, easing congestion and addressing the needs of future traffic levels. Morning northbound congestion on Cedar Avenue at the Minnesota River Bridge can extend for 7 miles from the Minnesota River Bridge to County Road 42. Traffic is expected to increase along this corridor as an additional 90,000 commuters are anticipated to travel Cedar Avenue by 2025. The Cedar Avenue corridor from Bloomington to Lakeville is one of the fastest growing areas in the metropolitan area. 86% of the residents indicated in the 2006 County Residential Survey that congestion is a significant issue within the county. 100% of comment cards received from businesses along Cedar Avenue agreed that something needs to be done to improve Cedar Avenue. The most supported transit alternative by businesses is bus rapid transit, also known as BRT. Cedar Avenue BRT will benefit our communities. Bus rapid transit will provide congestion relief. It will reduce the amount of air pollution from cars in and around the corridor. It will bring economic benefits to the community. The current project status is that there are 3 park and ride facilities that will be under construction this year and scheduled to be completed by December 2009 in Eagan, Apple Valley, and Lakeville. New and expanded express bus service will begin in November of 2009. Preliminary engineering and environmental assessment to be completed by this spring. Final design work began last February, and property appraisals are beginning in May 2009. Bus lanes and roadway improvement construction begins the summer of 2010 and is scheduled to be completed by fall of 2011. Full bus rapid transit service begins late 2011. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and Mr. Crom and I are here to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, then Senator Olsen would move that Senate File 835 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. Senator Gerlach.
Chairman, yes, there is a typo that we would need to fix on line 13. There's a comma and a two that are transposed. Like it should read, just like it does in line six, it should be 12 million. And like I say, the numbers are
good eye.
Correct there. So, it wasn't me who found it. I just admit that up front. But so, Mr. Chairman,
we will incorporate that as part of the motion. The council is fixing that as we speak.
My second.
That's kind of a sneaky way of getting a little more money, Senator Gerlach. Did you learn that from
billion.
Senator Tomasoni?
Oh. Actually, it's $1,200,000.
Yeah.
$12 million.
On the motion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you. And thanks again.
Thank you.
Well, now that we're spending money, let's spend a little bit more. We've only spent $37.5 million, so... Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm here on behalf of Senate File 679, which is a bill requesting an appropriation to build a bridge between two parts of 11th Crow Wing Lake, which is located in Akeley, Minnesota. Many years ago, a road grade went through and basically went through dividing this lake in half. And a culvert was put in place that has had problems ever since in terms of keeping it maintained. allowing access between the two lakes. Getting it cleaned out by the DNR has been an ongoing problem, although I do have to acknowledge that we have their commitment this spring that they're going to get in there and try and clean it out again. It's been inhibiting traffic now for quite a while. But there are some structural issues with that culvert as well that really needs some attention from the residents feel from a safety perspective. And so the request basically is, rather than replacing this with another culvert, would be to put a bridge in place that would do much to restore putting the lake back together and also allow for traffic much more realistic access between the two parts of this lake as far as boat traffic moving back and forth. And with me here today, I have Mr. Turner and Mr. Abraham, who are both here on behalf of the 11th Crow Wing Lake Association, speaking on behalf of the residents who live on the lake. And so if you would like some more history and background, I think Mr. Abraham would like to present that information.
Okay. Mr. Abraham.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for taking the time to listen to us. I know in this busy day I've listened to a lot of people talk, and by now you're probably ready to go to sleep. Now it's my turn. But the 11th Crow Wing Lake is the headwaters of the Crow Wing River. It's located about 25 miles cross-country from Lake Itasca, which is the headwaters of the Mississippi. The first bridge that was installed on this lake was in 1909, so this represents the 100th year of a bridge crossing. In 1920, the first bridge was replaced with another structure, and that lasted up to 1949. In 1949, that bridge was closed for safety reasons. For 7 years, they debated if they could turn around and replace the bridge. They decided that a lack of funding. Some things repeat themselves. In 1956, they decided that the best way to go about this would be to turn around and take hundreds of thousands of yards of fill, and put it into this lake and create a land-based crossing with a culvert. They went from a 200-foot span bridge to a 12-foot diameter crossing, and they sold it to the residents of this town by having a picture of a pickup truck being able to drive through the culvert. So now you have the headwaters of the Crow Wing River, which has a natural flow that's God's intent, was a 200-foot opening to let the flow of the lake go through and then advance down to the other 10 lakes. And you bring it down to a 12-foot diameter. In 1964, the culvert started to collapse, and it was based on the fill was not able to support that culvert. So they dug it up, and they turned around and redid the bed and then relaid the culvert. Now that culvert is still standing in that place. It's been sinking year after that, because when you take a lake depth that was at 35 feet, and that was at the area of where that culvert was placed, and you put fill in there, after time, things start to sink. This is where Highway 64 goes across the 11th Crow Wing Lake. We can go on and talk about how many times they cleaned it and everything else, but in 2000, we received a letter from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And it was to Senator Tony Kinkle. And if I may read this letter, I ask permission to read it. It's short. Commissioner Tinkleberg, I thank you for your concern and support of the transportation initiatives of the Akeley area. We have reviewed the information concerning the bridge just north of Akeley and understand the importance of the area to replace or enhance the crossing of Highway 64. We believe the construction of a three-span bridge at this location can be programmed for the summer of 2003. MnDOT will fund 50% of the bridge and be responsible for all planning, design, and development. Estimated cost of the bridge will be $450,000 to $500,000. We will name a project manager who will ensure a timely letting date and work directly with the locals to coordinate and communicate all aspects of this project. Because of the proposal involves the improvement of the recreation, boating, and other aesthetic values, it is expected that the local funds, a sense of ownership, should be established. A new bridge at this location will provide almost 7 feet of clearance and a 30-foot opening. This bridge will rest on pilings, so structure stability would not be a concern. The road grade will be raised approximately 2 feet at the culvert and can match well with the surrounding properties. We will work with you and your locals to develop possible funding strategies and other programs such as LCMR and economic development grants. I've copied the participants in this meeting and suggest to provide the information to the community. They also gave us a design for a bridge, and they also gave us an itemized listing of all materials needed and been able to turn around and determine whether a culvert or a bridge, which way do you want to go. So we have all that. We have full support from the county of Hubbard County and from the city of Akeley. And we're a small community up north, and one would ask why and what kind of impact would this have. The city of Akeley owns a large campground along there that generates money, but also it serves as a city park. That would be a huge impact if they could use the whole lake rather than just part of the lake. We also have 3 resorts on the lake. And besides all that, there's 100 residents that live on the lake. So that is my input.
Thank you, Mr. Aram. Mr. Turner?
I would just like to comment a little bit on the environmental impact of the culvert that's in there currently. With the way it's deteriorating, MnDOT's original plan was just to allow the free flow of water between the two basins, the east and west basin. With that culvert, the depth of the water right now is about 6 inches, and that's in the peak of the summer. It doesn't really allow for any migration of any fish or any aquatic or any wildlife, any ducks to migrate between the two basins. The amount of fill that was put into that lake was referred to as by one resident as the second largest case of pollution in Minnesota, second only to the tailings dumped in Lake Superior. That's how much they had to dump in there to fill that out. Not only would it benefit the residents of the lake, but also I think it would enhance the environmental impact also.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson.
And Mr. Chair, I would just add that I have gotten a cost estimate from MnDOT for the cost of replacing the bridge. They've indicated the cost would be $1,212,800, not including the purchase of additional right-of-way, and that this is potentially kind of a soft number. But apparently what they're saying is the money can't come out of their budget because Mr. Eaton has written to me from MnDOT saying MnDOT can only spend money for highway purposes and we cannot build structures that accommodate boats on our own. And so I think that's the reason why the bill had to be drafted as it was, because MnDOT's opinion is that this is something that by state statute isn't so much to accommodate a road purpose as a water purpose. At least that's what they're telling me, Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson, it sounds like the culvert is starting to fall in, which would probably cause the road to fall in, so I think it's a road issue. All right.
Good point, Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson, we're going to put $1.5 million in your blank appropriation there, and we'll also move this along to finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
Mr. Chair.
All right. Senator Skoy.
I would move Senator Olson's bill for
Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy has moved that Senate File 679, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Somebody had a question over here. Oh, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Olson, could you describe for us Trunk Highway 64, where it starts, where it ends? What are the major cities that are on that road, and how much traffic generally is on a daily basis goes on that road?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gimsey, I don't have those statistics, but I'm sure that one of my witnesses, this is the main thoroughfare or one of the that goes through Akeley, and so basically this is the main road that brings traffic through Akeley, through Nevis, goes over to Park Rapids. It's a main trunk highway through that entire area.
Well, that's helpful, Mr. Chairman. That's helpful. I guess I probably have been on that road then, if it goes from Nevis to Park Rapids. But just wondering, Mr. Chairman, you know, typically bonding is reserved for projects that have a statewide or regional significance. I'm just wondering if Senator Olson could share with us what the statewide or regional significance of this project might be.
Mm-hmm. Senator Olson, this is a state trunk highway, right? Okay. And it's the main drag for your area.
Mr. Chair, through this region of my district, this is the main artery that goes through it and certainly has a regional significance.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Mr. Chair and to Senator Gimsey, it's actually the road that I drive to St. Paul. I'm north and west of Senator Olson's district, and it's a...
Well, it comes from Akeley through Nevis, goes down all the way. Actually, I think it connects down to Motley into Highway 10, isn't it?
Yes, and, yeah. And the area to the north and west of Bemidji, it would be the shortest route to Minneapolis, unless you get far west where you might take 59. But there's a pretty significant amount of traffic on the road.
Goes all the way to Wilmer. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why I see. Actually, that's why I see Senator Skoy going cruising through Wilmer all that night.
Yeah. Actually, interesting, Mr. Chair. I've always noticed that Highway 64 is 64 miles long.
That's a great trivia.
Wow. Exactly. Wait till trivia pursuit tonight, right? All right. On the Skoy motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that does it for the budget division. Now